Hello, lovely podcast people, and welcome to yet another episode of The Fitness Solution. This is another episode that I recorded when I was in quarantine back in my hotel room in January now. And every time I say that, it makes me cringe just a little bit because of how rubbish I've been at getting these podcasts out to you, lovely listeners. But it is what it is, I suppose. To be fair, moving countries is not easy. And I think there's probably a time upon which I need to just take a chill pill and understand that I can't always get it all done all of the time, every time, as much as I wish I could. But yeah, I mean, it's been great. And to be fair, other things have kind of just taken up my time. Like, for instance, TikTok, which has gone absolutely berserk recently. I'm up to something like 21,000 followers, which is just out of this world. I don't know. I can't quite believe there's 21,000 people in the world who actually want to hear what I have to say, but it's an absolute delight and I'm overwhelmed with joy from it. And, you know, just getting used to the rhythm of working here again in a gym and obviously keeping up my obligations as an employee. That's obviously very important. And also looking after all of my online coaching clients, keeping up my commitment as an employee to them is very important. And, you know, I think that's very honest and fair and understanding. And I think everyone has been very understanding, actually, more so than I think they should have been with me and being patient with me and things like that. So it really is truly delightful. And actually, I'm so glad to be here again. I'm so glad to be able to do a podcast for you again and produce one and get it up and get it on and get it all done and dusted for you. And I've got a fantastic guest lined up for you today. Her name's Renee Ekberg, and she's from Wisconsin in the USA. And she's got a really, really interesting story. The podcast is called It's Never Too Late, because she didn't decide to become a coach and really start getting fit until kind of like her mid to late 40s. And I think so many of us think that would have been far too late. Like, there's no way I can get it done so late in my life, and actually it's just not true. And Renee's a testament to that, and oh, she is ripped, absolutely ripped, and she's such a lovely person, and we had such a lovely chat. We connected so well, and it was just really warm and fuzzy. It's one of those episodes that just makes you feel warm and fuzzy and is a nice conversation. So I will blabber no more, and I will hand over to myself and to Renee. And I really hope you enjoy this episode. Oh, but before you go, please don't forget to give the podcast a review, because that helps a hell of a lot. And it would mean an awful lot to me to have you there, giving it a review and just helping it and just letting me know that you value these episodes. Right. I hope you have a great day. Peace, love, and protein. Now on with the interview. Welcome to this week's episode of The Fitness Solution. And I'm very fortunate, as are you, for listening to this, as on the other end of the line, I have someone from Wisconsin, USA, known as Renee Ekberg, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes, excellent. I was like, I don't want to say a first name, but a second name. I think it's Ekberg. That's how it's spelled. That's awesome. So Renee, say hey.
Hey, how's it going? Thank you for having me on it.
Don't be silly. It's an absolute pleasure that you're on and willing to talk to my I'd like to say a doting fans, but I think there's about four of them who listen to this. So the four people who listen to this, it's miraculous and wonderful, and it's so nice to like be able to get out and connect with lots of different people from varied aspects of the fitness industry and stuff like that. Especially, I mean, I'm locked in a room for 2 weeks, so I'm kind of hammering out as many of these as I can. So it's absolutely my pleasure, and it's been lovely like having your support and stuff, because we're in the same kind of coaching group, aren't we?
Yes.
And seeing all your posts in there and all your like encouragement and everything, it's like I did a podcast with Susan before, like back in March or something, and I called her like the grandmother of the fitness industry.
Yes.
Not grandmother. I think I called her the mother of the fitness industry. And then she went, no, I'm the grandmother. And I like, and you very much have the same kind of aura about you, of that kind of nurturing loveliness. So it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
That's a huge compliment. So thank you.
So how did you end up in Wisconsin?
Well, I was born and raised here. I did go to college elsewhere, but migrated back. So I'm kind of laughing about that because that was not the plan, as
right.
But yeah. I came back to Wisconsin, got married. I have a family of 4 children. They're all adults now. So I kind of found myself. Yeah. When they got a little bit older, I was always in sports and an athlete. I was a coach when my kids were younger, and I kind of always wanted to get back into that activity level. But you know, when you're in your 30s, there's a couple softball teams that you can play on, and it's not quite the same. And I had never really lifted before, but I had always wanted to lose like that last 10 pounds. Always like, you know, what can I do? So I tried a ton of crazy diets, nothing that was sustainable, nothing I could stick with. And I felt like I was kind of at the end of my ropes, and I was in a Facebook group, and that's how I met Susan Niebergall, and she answered a lot of my questions. I started emailing with her, and I still thought I could do it on my own. Eventually I just said, okay, let's look into this and see what she's all about with coaching. I didn't, you know, at that time I just thought, how in the world can online coaching work? That was really new to me, and very intriguing. So I was thrilled with just how she started everything out. She called me out on my nutrition, which was the big barrier kind of keeping me from losing those last 10 pounds that I always wanted. And then I started building muscle after that and totally fell in love with lifting. And shortly after that, people started asking me, well, how did you do this? And, you know, how did you lose the weight? How did you gain muscle? I wanted to be fit by the time I turned 50. And when I turned 50, I decided I want to be a coach. So I started helping other people, which I love. And it's just kind of opened up a whole new world for me, but I've met so many amazing people, and then joined the mentorship, and yeah, met a lot of other coaches. So I love it. It's a lot of fun.
It's a hell of a lot of fun. That's such a lovely story. What I love about that is like, firstly, it's like how deep a relationship can go with a personal trainer, right? Like all of my like in-person clients that I used to work with when I was in person in the gym back in London, like they're all such good friends of mine. They all become so like important to me. Like two of them have just got engaged. One of them got married this year. Like, and it all means so much to me, like in a way that, cause I don't have children myself or anything like that yet. Like, it's a weird feeling because they're kind of my kids, even though they're all older than me, pretty much. They're like, they're my babies. And so they've, and like when you see them like change and grow and develop and build that kind of thing, like, you know, if you and with Susan, like, you know, she's turned you into a coach. Like she had that big an impact on you that you decided to have a sea change in your life to go and take forth her energy and like funnel that through you and take it out into the world to other people. It's
right.
And the incredible bit, you did that online. Like, you know, wasn't in person, and you can create these, you can change these people's lives so much.
Mm-hmm. I have met so many, I really think a lot of my best friends are weightlifters online, and it's odd to say that they're my best friends. And I could say that because I have met several of them at a fitness retreat about a year and a half ago. So we kind of, you know, we said, okay, this is legit now. We have met each other. We can officially we're not just online friends.
Yeah. It's no longer it's complicated on Facebook.
Yeah. Right. So yeah. It's great.
Yeah, no, I always felt guilty with my clients. It's like, because they did become really good friends. And then I'm like, I can't believe I'm charging you. Like, you're my friend. Like, I feel bad about this. And their attitude is always like, don't be silly. Like, you're a person who chases your job. I'm like, yeah, but you're my friend. And I feel bad about it. It was all very lovely. Yeah. Very English.
I love that. I love that too. I mean, I love just helping people, and people have questions, like, just feel free to ask. I'm not going to charge you. Just, you know, if you have questions about where you're stuck at or why doesn't this work or why does that work, I'm happy to help people. If I don't know, I'll ask. I'll find out.
I know. I was having this conversation with someone the other day, actually. I think it might have been on the podcast. And I was like, yeah, it was with Brooke Madigan from the mentorship.
Oh, sure.
And I was like, I personally get so annoyed when I put up like a question box on Instagram or something and someone doesn't ask me a question. And I don't get annoyed because I want to show off. I don't get annoyed because I want to show how clever I am, how good I am, and I just, and you know, oh, it'll drive your algorithm or whatever. I get annoyed because I just love answering questions. And I just want, I know my followers have questions about stuff, and it's like, ask me. It's not like I'm going to bill you 5 cents for it at the end of, like, once I've answered it. It's like, well, you made me do an Instagram story. I need you to pay me now. It's like, just ask, because it inspires me and it gets me thinking. And the best ones are the ones that you have to, you're like, I don't know how to answer that. And you have to go and research it and figure it all out. I get that all the time.
Love that. When the first time I put a question box up, I got several of the same question of, how much can you curl? It's like, I don't curl.
I don't do bicep curls. Bicep curls are not fitness.
You have another question? Anything else out there?
Yeah. That's phenomenal. So, like, how old were you when you kind of started working with Susan and got into everything?
So I was 48. So I'll be 52 this year. So
it's never too late, people. 48. That's amazing. And what was it like starting at 48? Because I'm called the gym starter. Like a lot of my clients are people who've never exercised before. They just need that kind of confidence boost, kind of understand it, educate themselves and stuff like that. But a big thing I do come across as well is, it's too late for me. I can't do this. Like, it's the boat has sailed, the ship has gone. I'm just going to deal with hip replacements and knee replacements as opposed to deal with picking up a barbell off the floor and avoiding those issues. So what was it like just kind of finding the energy, finding the confidence? You
know, I think I started around 43 when I really started thinking, you know, I'm getting closer to 45, which is then I'm going to be closer to 50. And that really scared me. And I really wanted to get in shape. And the more I searched and the crazier things I found, the more discouraged I got. But my husband, at his work, they had a personal trainer come in. And that's the first time I had heard that it was really important to eat a lot of protein. Eat your weight in protein, he would always say. Eat your weight in protein grams. Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay. So I was going to say, you can't eat 80 kilos of protein, you die.
Sorry. No, grams per day. So I started on that path, and it just wasn't a sustainable way of what he had me on for exercise. I didn't enjoy it. It was a lot of running, and I'm not a good runner. So I started doing some videos and some lifting and things like that. And I knew I liked lifting. So when by this time I was 46 and then pretty soon, by the time I found Susan, I was 48, 47 or 48, I think. And she was 58. So I was like, are you kidding? I mean, if she can, you know, she's been doing it for however long she was doing it at that time, I surely can start then. And she really encouraged me. And what I loved about her too was, I had at first thought I needed to find a coach that was really just going to be really rigid and do those things with me where it was like, you got to, you know, just really drill it into me.
Be like the drill sergeant, yeah.
Finally kick my ass into gear, right? But that was not what I needed. So Susan was very much like, yeah, my husband's gone getting donuts right now. So what are you doing today? You can eat donuts? That's awesome.
So I was on a call with a client last night, and before the call took place, I just said to her, I was like, I'm going to be drinking beer, just so you know. It's like, I'm locked in a room. It's 8:30 at night my time. It's been a long day. There'll be a beer in my hand. I hope that's okay. She was like, yeah, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Exactly. And that's the thing, you know, it's a sustainable, everything in moderation kind of approach. Doesn't mean you don't have to do the hard work. There's definitely, and part of my problem was we're season ticket holders to the Green Bay Packers. So that's a big deal here, is a lot of tailgating, and it was a lot of drinking. And it was, you know, it was kind of the weekend thing. It was summer. It was always an excuse. And she really called me out on that and just said, okay, you know, you're hiring me to do this. So what are you going to do to toe the line here and do the work? And I just finally decided, you know what, I got to do the work. So let me try. I didn't want to do it, but she calls them bright lines. And I would text her and say, okay, I'm going to have two drinks at the Packer game or whatever, and just stick with that. And just, I'm going to go by my word. I'm going to see if I can do this. And once I did it, kind of got, you know, that momentum started to build, and it's like, I can do it and I can live like this and it's fine. And I can still have fun, and just kind of started to change things. The weight started to fall off shortly after that, like within a month. And I really started to feel different, feel better. And then I started to really enjoy lifting, and I started to buy more weights. And I lift because I lift at home. I lift in my basement. So started to invest in a lot more. And now the entire basement is my gym. So.
Is your gym floor. Amazing.
Yeah.
What's it like? Like, what's it like lifting in an environment with no windows?
Oh, I have windows. It's like a half, there's like an exposed side. So.
Oh, that's awesome. I can't stand it. Yeah, there's a couple of gyms in that I used to go to in the UK, and they just had no windows, and it was like it's so weird, it's annoying. It's like, no, I need daylight when I'm lifting. Yeah, like I need to connect to the world in that sense.
I'm looking at the snow from my.
Oh, is it snowing?
Yes, we have snow, and it's about 25 out, I would say today.
Fahrenheit.
So, Fahrenheit. Yep.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. I've only ever grown up in Celsius. Yeah, I mean, yeah, like 73 is 23 degrees C, isn't it? I only know that because the air conditioner in my hotel room. So it's cold. It's very cold.
Yes, it's pretty cold.
Yeah. And you say you're a Green Bay fan?
Yep.
That's been rough the last few years, isn't it?
No, we're having a good year this year.
Yeah, this year. Have you still got Aaron Rodgers at the helm?
Yeah. We had a couple of struggling years, but we're getting there. We're gonna go this year.
Awesome. So, like you got into the protein, and like how hard was it to get that level of protein in? Like I know you said, what did Susan agree with the personal trainer from your father's?
Not your father, from your husband's
gym.
It was very close. Yeah, she definitely had me, especially when I was in a deficit at first. And then I kept my protein really high to sustain my muscle. And that really was eye-opening to me when I first started. And I have that with my clients as well. When I start my clients out and say, you know what, we really need to, let's start tracking and see how much protein you're getting in a day. And a lot of times it's less than half of what they need. There's, you know, it's not uncommon to see that someone new to tracking is getting about 40 to 50 grams of protein a day, whereas you should get over 100. You know, I like to see around 130. For myself, I try to stay around 150 to 160.
How do you do that?
So I start my day off with some eggs and usually like an omelet kind of breakfast. And then I also have some Greek yogurt. Then I typically lift mid-morning. So after my lifting, I'll have... you know, a lighter lunch, maybe some lean protein and a salad or something, and maybe some cottage cheese, so that I try to have over 100 grams by mid afternoon.
Yeah.
And then a nice dinner. And
you're covered.
I don't mind supplementing with a little bit of protein powder, but I try not to make that, you know, any kind of, not more than probably 30 grams a day for sure.
Is there a particular reason for that? Or you just don't like it?
I just would rather have whole foods.
Yeah. I mean, I'd rather have pizza, but unfortunately, there's too much fat in that. I get that. It's a big struggle I have, is like fitting in that protein, and definitely like getting it done by lunch, like at least breaking the back of it by lunch is so important. It's one of the issues I have with those who do like 16-8 fasting and stuff like that. You know, it's like, it works for weight loss, but it doesn't work for protein and muscle maintenance and stuff like that. It can be difficult because you're having to cram a lot of food in a short space of time. And when you understand that, when it's not about restricting your food and it's about actually, you need to have protein in abundance, you realize that actually fasting and avoiding these windows isn't actually going to be useful for you, because I need you to have protein in abundance, because you don't know how hard it is to get 130 grams of protein in.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And I think that if people can build their meal around their protein, you know, think about your protein first.
That's what I always say. Protein, then veggies, and carbohydrates can come for the ride. Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I say too. And if you can get that first and build everything around that, you know, it makes it a lot easier. And just always being aware of it. And it takes a while, you know, once you get in that routine. Like now, I prefer a lot of protein. I feel so much better, satiated, and I like it. But I like dairy, and I like, you know, I live in the dairy state, so.
yeah, the cheese state of Wisconsin.
So that helps, but
you don't like whey protein. Like whey is part of cheese, isn't it? It's part of the process.
You know what? I have a cheese factory, like a cheese factory, about 15 minutes from my house, where they actually sell the whey that they.
Can I just say? I think that is the greatest sentence that has ever been said on the Fitness Solution. I live about 25, what is it, 25 meters away from a cheese factory. I mean, I think you win. You've won. You've won the Fitness Solution.
Yes. Fresh cheese curds every week.
Absolutely. I mean, who doesn't live next to a cheese factory? That's what you got to ask.
This is true. In Wisconsin, you're pretty close. If you're not, I don't know where you're living.
Sorry, so as you were saying, so you live next to this cheese factory.
Yes, and they actually have huge containers of whey, of the whey protein that
they dry.
Yeah, so that's very convenient. It's low in calories, high in protein, and it's tasteless.
Yeah,
there's no flavor, so I can add it to anything. That's I haven't good. Used that a lot lately, but yeah, I should get back to that. It's an easy, cheaper way of than ordering, you know, a flavored kind.
Yeah, like going to Legion or someone like that. Absolutely, like. And so 48, you kind of really started taking charge of everything. Mm-hmm. What would you say it's given you?
A lot of self-confidence.
Yeah. Was you low on confidence beforehand?
You know, I just always felt like, I think I felt like I wasn't, I always was trying to get somewhere. Didn't really know where, didn't really know what I wanted to do. I was a social worker for quite a few years. Wow. We have a son that's disabled. So I quit my job and he's in a wheelchair and he requires full-time care. So that really became a lot of my life, you know, raising my kids, but mostly him because he just needed so much care and I needed to bring him back and forth to school every day. And he was pretty sick a lot the first like 7 years of his life.
Yeah.
Now he's 22 and he's super healthy and
amazing.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's going to live with us forever, you know, so I love that I can work from home and still take care of him. But I think, you know, I always loved athletics, like I mentioned before, and I would like to do something down that road, and that it just, it build my self-confidence to be able, if I can do this and I can helping other people, right? Just that is alone as well. Just, I love it. So it boosts my self-confidence. I'm helping others. I'm working from home. I can work. Yeah.
And I mean, physically, like you're like, you have like, don't, you know, like, don't worry. I have a fiance and I don't mean to like be commenting on your body or anything, but you are lean, strong. Like you have like the body of like, it reminds me, I was talking to a client a little while back, and we were talking about Gladiators. Do you remember the TV show Gladiators?
Yes.
Yeah, like you're like, you know, you've got the sloped shoulders, you've got the muscles. But it doesn't look bulky. It doesn't look like bodybuildery. It doesn't look anything. It just looks like a really strong, healthy, amazing body at like 48, going into 50 years old. It's incredible.
Thank you. And you know, I think just part of that was a lot of it is genetics. And I always knew I was strong because when I was in sports, I mean, I would arm wrestle the boys in junior high.
Yeah.
And I remember it was kind of, I thought it was cool, but then it wasn't so cool because the girl isn't really supposed to be. Not really. I knew I was strong, but I didn't know what to do with that. And then the videos that I would do, before I started coaching and found Susan, you know, I never had the right nutrition. So I never really saw any results. Yeah. I could lift a lot, but I wasn't seeing any results. And that's where the nutrition came in. And then I got more of the defined muscle. And I think the protein in there is super important as well. I mean, it's consistency, you know, it's just keeping with it. And then I was frustrated stayed in a deficit for probably a little bit too long. I found myself getting more restrictive again, because I struggled with that before, trying to be perfect and really trying to nail my diet down and get everything perfect. And I couldn't understand why, if you could do a perfect diet, why wouldn't you? But it's like, because you can't.
Because it doesn't exist.
It doesn't. And I finally realized that and allowed myself to have treats and then finally decided, you know, I need to just go into maintenance and let this just relax a little bit and not get so, you know, obsessed over everything, and really enjoyed that. And then really started to build more muscle, then went into a surplus, and enjoyed that even more. So treats every day. And then that was like a year ago. And actually, because I stopped being so restrictive, I was adhering to my diet better. So I was, probably eating about the same amount of calories, but I was more consistent with my diet and then lifting more weights and able to do more in the gym, and then just built up more muscle and had more energy and sleeping better. You know, all those things that go along with not being in a deficit all the time. I really enjoyed that. So I did that, I think about December of last year through March or April. So that was about a year ago I was going through that. And then I got, I was able to eat quite a few calories, and my body just kind of just everything sped up and
enjoyed
some muscle. Went back into a deficit over summer, and now I'm back into a surplus again. So
in winter, it's a really good idea to do that in winter.
Yeah, exactly. Especially in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's really fun to not, you know, to really enjoy the different phases of lifting and help other people understand that you don't need to live in a deficit, and you shouldn't. It's not meant to be a long-term thing. It's okay. No. If you need to lose some weight, yeah, let's go into a deficit for a certain amount of time, and then let's take a little break and go into maintenance. It helps you mentally, helps you physically, just give you that little bit of break and hit it again. But, you know,
the issue I often have in that situation is, like getting a tune out of a client in the deficit, right? So I couldn't agree more, but I find my clients and I find people in general, they have to stay in a deficit for so long because they're not being adherent to being in a deficit to begin with.
Right. Right.
So they're constantly, so mentally, they're constantly like restricting themselves, and they're constantly like, okay, I can only have 1600 calories a day or whatever. But it's like, but every time they've been having that thought, we have no idea whether they've actually been 1600 calories a day because they never track, they avoid doing the work. They don't try and work on their protein content and stuff like that. So then I end up finding these people who've been in like deficit for like 3 years, like deficit in inverted commas, mentally. But, and the thing is like the separation is they've mentally been in a deficit for such a long period of time, but physically they haven't, and they're drained mentally, but physically nothing has changed, which has compounded the mental drain from them. And it's like, it's really hard to kind of go, you know, like I want you to do a deficit for 3 months, track for 3 months. Like you could probably, if you only track with those 3 months in the deficit, it's more important to track in a deficit than it is at maintenance, right? Because you've got that extra flexibility. You can relax it a little bit. You'll know a lot more about your nutrition if you go into maintenance out of a deficit and stuff like that. But I find it's really hard to get a tune out of these seasonal dieters, these yo-yo dieters and people like that, that is consistent and coherent enough to be able to move them through those phases that you did. And it's interesting that you said, you know, you put in the work, you saw how your body was responding, you enjoyed all of that, and you had it as part of your plan. But the key to that plan is definitely tracking in the deficit.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. And like you said, just, you know, that whole restriction piece, if you're restricting so much, then, you know, for myself on the weekends, then it was overload. Oh, well, screw it. I just, you know, messed up my whole week. Okay. Well, I'm a weekend warrior.
Yeah.
Right. I may as well just eat the rest of the weekend away. So I'll start over again on Monday, and then into a strict deficit, and I'm going to do it. And there's, you know, no, I'm not going to mess up. And then it, you know, it's just a cycle that people get into. And then when you actually go to maintenance and you're adhering to it because it's a lot easier mentally and, you know, physically, you're not as hungry, well, then you find you're adhering to your diet better and you'll have better results. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what kind of lifting do you do?
So I love barbell back squats.
Oh,
I love,
do you?
Benching. Yeah, I do. I'm trying to love deadlifting. I have never, it's been hard. It's been, that's been the most difficult lift for me. And I think what's so frustrating is everyone's like, oh, deadlift is the best lift ever. And I'm like, well, why? I don't know why I don't love it.
Are you quite tall?
I am 5'8".
Okay, so not so tall. I thought you were quite tall. You look like you're probably like a 6 footer. Like just from your photos and what I see of you, like, you know, online and stuff. So why do you think you don't like the deadlift?
I'm not able to increase the weight fast enough.
So you're already at peak deadlift.
Anything upper body, I tend to, it just is a lot easier for me. I love chin ups. I love push ups. I love bench press, but I do love the back squat too. I'm not really sure why, but I do love that. Yeah. Deadlift has just kind of been my nemesis, but I am working on it. I am determined. I'll get there. And I am just, there's just little tweaks, you know, deadlift, there's just so many things to remember. And I feel like I'm hitting my knees. I'm not locking out fast enough. My knees are breaking too early when I'm on the descent. There's just a million things. So
I think because you're not able to increase the weight, I think you're overthinking it, and it's leading you down the path of just hatred towards it. It's like, just go pick up a barbell. It's fun. Like, who cares if you're like half a millisecond behind in terms of locking out at the top and stuff. I mean, we can't all power our way out of a deadlift like Jordan does. Do you know what I mean? Like, just chill, just enjoy it. It's funny, isn't it? I hate a back squat. I adore a deadlift. I can't back squat. I'm too tall. I'm too lanky. My femurs are too long. It's not good. But then like a deadlift, I'm like, let's go, you know, and I love deadlifting. I can squeeze into that position a lot better than doing a back-loaded back squat. Sure. But for me, it's the overhead press.
If there's a chin-up bar, I mean, what's more fun than going up to a chin-up bar and just pulling up there? Just
jumping. I've only recently got into pull-ups, like chin-ups, pull-ups. No, maybe not pull-ups, more chin-ups I do. I mean, it's an incredible feeling when you're able to start doing them. And I was really surprised how quickly they progress. I was really surprised, like, you know, I struggled the first like few and that, but kind of little jump, kind of just aiding yourself a little bit, holding it for a little bit longer, slowing down as I come down just to build that. Right. And then like after about 3 or 4 weeks, I was like, let's go, bang, bang, you know, and I was able to get like 5 sets of 5 out rather well. I've probably regressed quite a lot since because I've not been in the gym for a month, at least a month, maybe 6 weeks. Yeah.
That'll come back fast though.
Yeah, I hope so. They're great fun, aren't they? It's quite nice having that kind of power over your body.
Yeah, I love the slow eccentric chin-ups, just starting at the top and just lowering real slow. I mean, clusters, anything, hollow hold, anything to help, inverted rows. I used to hate those, but I'm starting to like those now. Those all help.
They're brutal, aren't they? They are brutal. I've got a suspension trainer here in lockdown in like my hotel room. So like inverted rows is basically like the go-to for like that kind of exercise. That's awesome. It's great. Oh, what a lovely conversation we've had, Renee. Thank you so much. What's the plan for the rest of the day?
Well, my daughter leaves back for university tomorrow. She's on the volleyball team. So they've been on.
Yeah, that is a sport I love.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a setter. So because of COVID, it's been a crazy year, right?
Yeah,
so they play in the fall, and that was canceled, but they were able to practice throughout. She was on campus and they practiced. She came home for Christmas, and now she goes back tomorrow, and they have preseason for about a month, and then they'll have their regular season in the spring this year and be able to hopefully be able to play. So anyway, we're taking her out for dinner.
Oh, lovely. Getting your protein in, right? You're going to a steak restaurant.
Yeah, I'm debating what I should have. Pasta.
Pizza. Always pizza. And people are going to think I'm obsessed, aren't they? That's great. Are your children quite athletic?
So our oldest son, he was a basketball player and a soccer player. He was pretty athletic. And then our oldest daughter was a softball player. She was athletic as well. And then our third child is disabled. And then our youngest, she was a volleyball player and a softball player. So yeah, I got them all in
amazing
sports. Busy running around.
High school, all at what kind of college level?
Yeah, high school.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. I love the way the Americans kind of structure their their sport and stuff. It's so integral to like what Americanism is and stuff. In the UK, it's like we don't have college teams and university. We do, but like unless you're rich and like in the rowing team at Eton or Cambridge and Oxford, no one really cares. Do you know what I mean? Like it's not structured like it is in the United States. It's a good way to go about it to keep people active and that. It's awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your time today. How can everyone find out more about you and, you know, and
thank
learn?
You. So everything, my Instagram, Facebook, my website, everything is Renee Ekberg Fitness.
Renee it's Ekberg. Three E's, isn't it? So it's Renee, R-E-N-E-E, and then Ekberg is E-C-K-B-E-R-G.
Yes. And then B-E-R-G. So it's a lot of E's. If you forget how to spell, just put an E in there. It'll probably get you there.
You'll figure it out, yeah.
Yes, right. Yeah.
That's awesome. And my
website also is reneeekbergfitness.com. So
it is. It's a good website too. You've got loads of helpful content on there and it's really lovely. I was on it earlier last night. I'm just checking things out and stuff. It's really lovely. Good stuff. Renee, thank you so much for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure.
I appreciate you having me on and chatting.
It's lovely. It's so refreshing to hear. Like the thing I love doing about this podcast is just hearing loads of different stories from lots of different people, every walk of life.
It's so interesting. Everyone's journey is so different and how everyone got to where they are in fitness that loves it. Yeah,
it really is. But also what's very interesting is if you go back and listen to all of the episodes, maybe not all of them, but a lot of them is everyone tells, they all have a different personal story. But they all tell the same story in terms of fitness. And it's no surprise. Like they all go, well, you got to eat a protein. Well, you got to go and lift weights. Well, you got to be in a deficit for a bit and you got to track your calories. Like, and it's like, and it doesn't matter like to my clients and stuff like that, how much I bang the drum. It's like, it's nice that they get all these different voices of people going, you got to track your calories. You got to do this. You got to do that. Get to it, get to work. And yeah, and it's astounding. Like people from all over the world. Like I've had, you know, Americans on, English people on, Australians on, and they all say the same thing. And it's like at some point, it can't be a coincidence, right?
Right. There's some truth. There's the truth right there.
We know the truth. You just got to go and do it. Let that be a message to you, dear listener. No, thank you. Thank you so much. Enjoy dinner with your daughter. I hope she has a great season in volleyball and stuff. And yeah, you have an awesome day.
Thanks. You too, Adam.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of The Fitness Solution. It means an awful lot to me to have you here, to be able to record this podcast for you and to know that it's going into your ears and hopefully you're enjoying it. If you are enjoying it, please leave it a review. 5 stars would be best. On iTunes, as that really helps the podcast grow and find more people and get into more ears and hopefully put more people on a good track with fitness and weight loss. And if you want to find out about coaching with me, then please head to my website, which is www.thegymstarter.com. Or this is very exciting. This is like a first time announcement on the podcast. You can also go to www.thegymstarter.com.au. That's it. I'm sorry. I'm now a proper Aussie. And you can obviously look through there for helpful stuff on my blog or coaching options, whether that's joining the Fitness Collective for £20 a month, or whether that's doing one-to-one online coaching, whatever tickles your fancy. It'd be my absolute pleasure to help you. I hope you have a great day. And I look forward to speaking to you again very, very soon. Peace, love, and protein. Bye-bye.